Hey besties, what's going on? This is your host, Chris Garcia of BFF Energy. Before we kick off this week's episode, I wanted to give a huge shout out to you, our listeners. This week marks our 50th episode, and we could not be more excited about it. This is a milestone that wouldn't be possible without your continued support. Thank you for listening to us in your car, at the gym, at the grocery store, and taking us with you as you go about your daily lives. Our hope is to always make you feel part of the conversation, like you're on the mic too. We hope our conversations bring you joy and laughter and make you say, "What?" That's how we know we're killing it. So with that, let's start the show. Bye.
Official that is. I think we spoke about this last time.
Yeah. Welcome to another episode of welcome back to an episode of BFF Energy. We are a full house today. We have our co-host back. She is now married.
Married. Finally back. It's been so long.
Not that one. That one.
Is that it?
Okay. I wanted to give her an air horn. Air horn.
It's more like wah wah. It went right back to that. No, honestly, we're just so like back to like the just back to life. Like
back to the normal.
Nothing changed. Everyone's like, do you feel different? I'm like, nope.
It's the same thing.
We still have a mortgage, we still have laundry, we still have a dog. We went right back to normal.
Right back to the grind. Oh my gosh. That other voice that you hear is Jacqueline Romero, which
yes,
this officially makes our BFF trifecta. I mean, this is oh my gosh.
Hello, and Olivia's there too.
And we have special guests. Hi, mommy.
Oh my god. Hi, ladies.
Oh my gosh, that's it. Now I have to pay them. Oh,
that's it. Olivia, say hi. Can she hear us?
Brianna's pulling Olivia's hair right now.
Brianna's like, all right, get out of my way. You're in my frame.
Let me shine.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. How is everybody?
Oh, it's Saturday.
It's Saturday.
Can't complain.
If we did, would anybody listen? Probably not.
Oh my god. Oh, Jack, you got the Christmas tree up and everything? You're so good.
Gotta give the Christmas spirit for the children, you know.
You're so good.
I'll try to be.
Oh, I did buy poinsettias at Costco.
Oh, did you?
I did. I got a 4-pack for $16.
Oh, they're so pretty.
That's actually, I think.
I know. That was a pretty good deal. Cause I did see like a giant one. I had gone to Walmart for like half a second and then realized that Walmart didn't have vegetables. So I left. But before I did, I saw that they had gigantic poinsettias.
Were they real? They were real.
And they were so big and they were so beautiful. But I was like, I don't want the ones that are this big, though they were really nice, but I don't think we need one that big. So I got the 4-pack at Costco and it was just so much better. Also, do you say poinsettias or do you say poinsettias?
I say poinsettias, but it is right. Too. Yeah, I think poinsettias is actually correct, but poinsettias. But I get fake ones because of the dog.
Oh yeah, that's true. That makes sense. That makes sense.
So I have to dust mine off.
It's just a little Windex.
Now, do you guys get a real tree or do you get a fake tree?
I have too much to clean as it is with children and cleaning up after them. So I've always been a fan of the fake tree. You know, spend a couple bucks and get your money's worth after, you know, a couple years.
Yeah.
So I'm pro fake. Just because it's too much maintenance.
No, I get it.
it speaks very true to who you are, Jackie, right? With the, you know, superwoman costume and
buy it and keep it forever. It's okay. Get your money's worth.
Super legacy.
That's true. Not until the sleeves are ripped and it's stiff because it's been so used so many times.
So gross.
That's so hilarious.
See, John's like, he's like such a crazy person. That's like his tradition, like cutting down the tree.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. So we have to cut down a tree this year again.
That's cute. That's
cute. Fun.
that's very how is he with that? Is he a
he's
pro?
Great. Uh-huh. He's a pro. He's got his axe, he's got it, he's ready to go. We picked last year the fattest tree ever, and we're not gonna do that again this year because he like took over my whole living room. His name was Gus.
Gus, and I remember Gus.
Oh my god, remember he just like took over my whole living room. I'm like, it was too claustrophobic. I didn't like it.
Now we're getting a skinnier one. What is that going to be named?
We're going to be a little Rexy this year.
Yeah. What's going to be his or her name this year?
I don't know. I you know, when I feel
it's when you see it. It's when you see it, right?
When I see it and I feel it. And I'm like, maybe it's like a Zoe if it's a girl today. I don't know. Yeah, I just got to see the vibe.
I like it. She has a little bit of, you know, saps coming out of her pine cones. I don't know. I just sexualized a pine.
I feel like she would have cheekbones and like she would, because she's a little thinner. So she's definitely going to be a Zoe and a girl this year, I think.
Can I tell you that one year, my mom and I bought that talking tree, that talking Christmas tree.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
I loved that talking Christmas tree. It was so much fun. It was so funny. And we just decorated it, just kept singing and saying things. And I was just like, at one time at 2 o'clock in the morning, I decided to like play a song, scared the bejesus out of me. But then I started singing and went back to bed. So it was great.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. We bought that at National Wholesale Liquidators. I remember.
National. I remember. Well, you know what I bought this year that I found? I'm so excited. Remember, the life-size marching, the plastic marching soldiers you would have outside.
Yeah.
I found them on eBay, but then I found them on Amazon. And shout out, they were like one of my first boyfriends because I used to dance with them too.
She used to make out with them.
And Jesus, you know, my life-size Jesus.
Yeah.
So I pulled it out of the box and I was like, Jen, I wanted to introduce you to one of my boyfriends.
Oh, you got them?
I did. I found them and they're so small. I was like, was I this small that they were like my size? But I'm like, they come up to like my hip. But I'm so excited to put them out.
That's going to be cute.
Too. And we used to have like the nativity scene.
Oh, yeah.
And true to fashion, right? Like we used them all until, you know, we couldn't anymore. And like my mom had to like use nail polish on, I think it was either Mary or Joseph because the paint was chipping off.
Did you always have your baby Jesus though? Did she like pull out your baby dolls?
No, there was an actual plastic baby Jesus.
Oh. Yeah. Can you imagine making a nativity scene out of Barbie dolls? That'd be great.
Seriously.
So great.
That'd be amazing. I would like, it'd be like a Stacy doll. And then it would be like, what was like Barbie's sister's name? What was Barbie's sister's name?
What year was that? The girl that
was it, Mandy or something? No, Barbie and what was her name? Stacy?
Skipper.
Skipper.
Good job, Jackie.
Good job, Jack.
Stacy was the black friend, I think, right? Wasn't that Stacy?
I don't remember. I only had Barbies.
I know she was a black Barbie. Racist. Oh.
Sorry.
Non-inclusive. Hello, diversity and inclusion. Hello, it's 2021.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I'm just gonna say what I had.
But all I had were white Barbies.
I always had the same Barbie. She was a little
Barbie, so I used to cut my Barbie's hair really short so she could play the guy.
You didn't have a Ken?
Not until a little later. I don't know why, but I just remember cutting.
Are you kidding me? I had the Joe McIntyre and the Jordan Knipe dolls.
This was after. This was before then.
Oh, okay. You got to improvise. You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. I mean, I had Ninja Turtles and G.I. Joe and they made out. I mean, who knows? Like, that's it just happened. Yeah. Like,
wait, did you ever turn them upside down and then go like that and be like, they're
yeah. Yeah. I mean, who did it? Also, podcast, not a visual medium. So we have to describe what you just did.
What I just did was
they were rubbing.
Basically,
they were rubbing.
It was rubbing against each other, and that was sexing.
They were causing friction. They were title of episode, G.I. Joe was rubbing.
So that's what my Barbies used to do.
My Barbies used to friction. That's
and they were always naked. They were always in a beach house. I swear to God, they were always in a beach house. They were always swimming, but it looked like it was one big orgy because they would all be naked because they didn't have bathing suits and they'd be diving off of things. Yeah, like my Barbies lived a life. They were like swingers.
They had a fun time.
These Barbies that were like a nude colony.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. They were all swingers. They were just living life. Yeah. Amazing. And they were rubbing. They were just doing this. And
they were rubbing.
That and welcome back. Was I'm so melting. Glad to be back.
Oh my gosh. Well, listeners, like we mentioned, our lovely Anina is now a married lady officially.
That's it. Thank God it's over.
We are coming out of the reins of her wedding ceremony, her party, all the festivities that happened that day. And we're just going to give you a little bit of a recap because I think that would be fun.
Maybe you guys could recap me. John and I were trying to piece our night together. We weren't even drunk, but we're like, what?
It goes by so quick.
I don't even remember. John's like, I don't remember even our vows. I was like, I just remember you being like, what are you vowing to me? That's what he said to me. He whispered.
Yeah, because nobody knew what you said.
You know that episode of that last episode or two episodes before the last episode of Friends where Monica and Rachel are like,
was that what I was like? I don't even know.
That's kind of like what you were. So we didn't, not as pitchy, but definitely like we couldn't really hear a lot.
No. Really? Yeah. It was very John. I just mind.
Was I embarrassing? I don't even remember.
This was you.
No, you weren't embarrassing.
That's what everyone said. They're like, this is pure Neen fashion. This was so.
It was that.
People came up to me and they were like, you got me in tears. I'm like, I don't even know what I said. Like, I have no idea.
I think you might have muttered maybe around 20 words in total.
Oh, okay. John's like, so he whispered, he grabbed my, he's like, so what are you vowing to me? I'm like, I just did.
John was more prepared than you
he
were.
He was so prepared. I was not. I couldn't. I don't know.
Was so cute. He was adorable.
He was so cute. Like, I can't. I mean, listen, let me just tell you. So he had like one job of this wedding. Okay. Like, I don't know. Okay. Just show up and do your vows. I don't know. I could not put it. Well, because, okay, let me backtrack. I also sent him a video of basically everything I wanted to say to him. So no one knows that actually. So basically I already said what I wanted to say to him.
Okay.
And because I knew I was going to get all choked up and basically everything I said. So when I was writing it, I'm like, I couldn't even write it. I had the worst writer's block. So I couldn't not put my words to paper for some reason. I don't know why, but I sent him this
and
video.
You probably had a million things on your, running through your head, especially with your planner.
Oh my
God.
I just wanted everything to slow down and I couldn't get a second. And every time I was in the room by myself, I was just I was there's too much. I couldn't get the event planner out of my head, being an event planner, because the hardest part was the fact that I was so out of control of my own wedding, which was frustrating to me. I wanted to be in control so badly, but then I kind of let go, but I was starting to get very, very stressed. Right before we were about to walk down, because I didn't know what the time was. I didn't know that why the trolley was so
late.
Yeah. Why the trolley was so late. I had no idea. I had no concept of time, which was really frustrating for me as a planner.
Oh, I'm sure. Sure. But it was very sweet and very funny to watch you do your vows. Cause you were just so, you were in the moment, you were encapsulated in the moment, but it was just I was is she going to get any words out that are going to be on video that are going to be worth rewatching.
Luckily my photographer did not tape the video. I mean, the ceremony that was not part of my package. I didn't want that.
Well, that's good.
I didn't want
that. That's good.
You don't want it.
I mean, was it bad? I mean, people
no,
up
no, no,
no,
it wasn't bad.
It was, so they're like,
I mean,
no, it was super
sweet.
Cute. It was true Neen fashion.
Yeah,
for sure.
It felt very much of you hosting and saying the let's get our word.
Oh God.
Yeah.
It felt very reminiscent of that. So yeah.
Whatever. I was I don't know. I just saw him and I started walking down the aisle and I got choked up.
Yeah.
And that was my moment. And I was I just don't care. And I didn't even know who was in the room. I was just so out of touch of everything except for John. That's all I focused on. Was him. So that's what I think is meant to be. I whatever. As long as he knew what I was saying.
Yeah, I mean, as long as he knew it. I don't think he did either.
Barely knew. He's like, he even asked, he's like, are we married? I'm like, I don't know, whatever. We didn't sign the certificate. Like, we were so happy. I'm like, we just,
you didn't sign the certificate?
No, my cousin's got to sign it. Like, it's just, yeah. I'm
who knows? Oh, I guess, wait, Chris, when you married Rachel and
I did it right after.
Yeah, we forgot.
Oh, you did it right after.
Yeah, we did it right after. I mean,
as long as you have your marriage license, you're married.
Yeah. That's it. I'm like, whatever. He'll
everything
sign
else
it.
Is just a
yeah, but he formality. Has to sign those. So you have to.
Yeah, he yeah. will.
That's important. That's important. Or else it'd be like, I'm sorry, we just went to this wedding and we spent all this money. And like, what? You're not even married? It feels very Lifetime yeah. movie.
We're
it
so
feels
like a very Lifetime okay. movie. I'm not even joking. Like I said to John, I was like, this is such a technicality. He's like, I know. Let's just go home and let's go lay on the couch and be with the dog. I'm like, exactly. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. But it went so fast. And people say it. They're like, you have to slow down. But I'm like, it doesn't matter. I did everything I can, planning to the T. And I felt like everything was all over the place. Like, I just didn't even yeah. know what was happening.
Yeah.
I'm like, did I dance with you? I don't even know if I saw you. Like, I don't, like, that's right. basically where I'm at. It was like yeah. blur of little yeah. pockets of things. But I guess that's normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I didn't
totally
know. I didn't know when you changed into your dress.
Jackie was with me. Yeah, okay. She helped me. We literally we went into the bridal suite and then we literally heard Shoop and we were like, no, screw it. And we ran right back. I don't even know if I think I some of my thing seconds. Was unbuttoned. We were just about to go dance. 3 seconds. Yeah. And then we ran back to go get changed.
Oh my gosh. That was so funny. That is yeah. so funny. Yeah. I was like, I thought there was going to be a reveal. Like what? And where did I miss it?
I cut it. So many things. Like we were going to do like the donut ceremony. I was like, screw it. No.
Yeah. What happened? Yeah. I was going to say, what happened to the donut?
Didn't care because then everybody was like dancing and I was just like, and then we had so much going on that I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't care. It just starts going out the window. I was like, we're not to the book anyway that I didn't care. I was like, very much. Whatever.
You know what? I missed the father daughter dance.
Oh, you did?
I had a,
oh,
you had a pump. Pee. Oh, I was pumping. I FaceTimed Pia.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, because so I turned to Peter and I go, oh, Jackie, we have to get Jackie. And then he's like, oh, she's right here. And then there's the phone.
Like, pumping. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a nice moment, actually. That was a nice moment. His mom. But then when we surprised my mom and his dad doing a dance, that was sweet. I got choked up for that one.
That was very sweet.
Yeah, yeah, that was really
sweet.
Nice.
That was very sweet.
But then, yeah. like, we kind of just went out the window, and like, that was it. I was just like, okay, bye. I don't even know if I saw John. I saw John in pockets of the night. I'm like, whatever. Like,
I remember you yelled at him because your song came on.
He
I think it was
stressed.
Like a Pitbull song.
No, it wasn't Pitbull. It was a Danza Kyoto of whatever. You know,
oh, that one. Yeah,
song.
Yeah, yeah, that one.
All
that
I
one.
Heard was, that "I one. Want the song. I want the song. I want yeah. the song. I want to dance yeah. to the song." This is John saying this, not yeah. me. This is uh-huh. him. So when the freaking song came, I'm like, where's Sean? I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, you can't, like, be a little present here. And he was like, well, it's okay. I'm like, all I heard was this stupid song. So, because he said to me, he's like, where, like, I want to make sure I'm dancing to that song. I want to dance to that song.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, can you please be present? Like, can you get outside? Like, I know you're outside entertaining, but like, hello.
That was funny here? Though. Because I heard you yell from like other room.
And I was like, where's Sean?
I was like, where? She's like, where's John? John? Monkey? Yeah. I'm like, what's
happening?
Because
he would have been like, why didn't you tell me? That's what he would have
right.
said to me.
Right. Well, now you have witnesses that can that all heard you to say that you
I'm
were
sure
looking
he was
for
on
him.
Camera somewhere.
Yeah, he was on somewhere. But yeah, but honestly, like I said, it was just pockets of throughout the night. I mean, it was fun. I had a great time, but I don't even know if I had a great time. Like, that's how much it was all over. Like, I was just all over the place.
Right, right.
I thought being a cocktail reception would have been a lot easier because I could have saw everyone and then I could have danced. But I was literally super social that day.
Yeah.
I think whether regular or not,
yeah.
That's how it's going to be. Yeah. Because I think even remember from my wedding, I was 90% of the time I was on yeah. the dance floor. And then the remainder of the time I was saying hi to
do
people.
Do you remember your wedding?
Yeah, I do. For the most part. Like
for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah. For the most part, I do.
But it goes
and I have it on video, so I have to watch it.
It goes by so fast. I'm so happy that we cut the number of people.
Yeah.
Because if I don't know how people do this with like 250, 300 people.
Yeah. So what was the total tally? The final tally?
I had about 110.
Okay.
Yeah.
110?
Yeah.
That's really good.
Great.
It was really good. I'm like so happy about that. Yeah. Yeah. Because some people backed out last minute. which I'm like, I get it.
Fine.
Were there any no shows?
No, it was really last minute. And like, it was all COVID related or deaths.
Yeah.
That's the really sad part. Like, So I'm like, I completely understand. Yeah. But everybody was, I mean, we kept the invitation small. I mean, the list. Yeah. So that was what we had to. Thank God we did. Because honestly, just like not being able, like having no shows. And it was just a stressful way to plan. It wasn't like a typical way to plan a wedding.
Right.
So you had to do a lot of plan Bs and what would happen. And then the last minute of them being like, oh, actually, we need a vaccination card. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That was so stressful. I mean, I'm like, how do you
Did you have to use that for the after party or no?
Yeah, they needed to, because it was a bar. Okay. So yeah, but I mean, they were so good. Like Brooklyn, they were, I mean, the people, they knew that we were coming. So they accommodated us and they had space for us, which was wonderful. So shout out to Brooklyn Social. They were awesome.
That's great.
But yeah, and it was just a chill. It was all like candlelight and like dark, like very speakeasy, the bar we went to afterwards. And then that was it. It was just very chill. And people then went home.
Good.
Yeah, we ate the pizza. People brought pizza like from the food truck. And then
that was a very cool food truck.
Everybody raved about the food truck. And I'm like, the firemen got a kick out of it. They were all hanging out with the guys and like taking the pictures and it was cute. Yeah. But yeah, no, the food, I thought the, I didn't eat like my actual at all. So I had pizza, which was good. So I was like, okay, I like it.
Yeah, you had a couple. I saw,
I think there was like one moment where
You did. You inhaled those.
Yeah, I was so hungry.
There was one point where I just started eating everything, right? I don't know, Chris, if you were there, I was eating everything. I was like, I'm eating this, I'm eating this.
Did you anytime try my food? Like, was the food? Did you guys try the food?
I remembered,
Yeah. I tried the pulled pork and I'm trying to remember what else was there.
I tried the brisket.
How was it?
I didn't try the brisket.
The brisket was good. The roast beef?
Roast beef?
Yeah, the roast beef was good. The little ceviches was good.
Was it good?
Oh,
the little ceviche was good.
The truffle, was it truffle
tater tots, I think.
Potatoes.
Yeah, we couldn't do French fries because they wouldn't let us bring a fryer in. That was annoying. That was a last minute thing that I was like, oh, thank you for telling me. Because I was supposed to have a Zeppeli station. Then they told us last minute we weren't allowed to have a fryer. I'm like, well, thank you.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah. So that's why I had to improvise with the whole pretzel and whoopie pie and cupcakes and candy bars and all that stuff.
Okay. I see.
But I wasn't too thrilled with how they like displayed everything. But again, I was just being like psycho.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's fine. But I mean, I think everybody got the good thing is that a lot of people got to eat. I did see a lot of people at the lines. So people managed to.
Yeah.
To eat. And I think they got excited again when the pizza came out. I think that was like a big highlight.
I just wanted to make sure I had enough food. That was my concern.
Yeah. I think you did. I didn't see anybody kind of did. I didn't think you did. I think the only thing that I think maybe the catering could have done a little bit better was the speed of replenishment. I don't think that was fast enough.
No.
Because I did notice that people like went, there was nothing there, and then they left. And then like 20 minutes later, there was something that was back. But then at that point, people were just kind of like not like going up.
So. Were people complaining? That's always my like thing. I just want to make sure people were like,
I didn't hear anybody complaining. I mean,
we kind of kept to our own.
Yeah, like, we kept in our own silos.
Pete, Chris, Yasser, like the four of us, we kind of hung out the whole time. I was talking to Pete afterwards and he's like, Yasser was my D. Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, like having a cocktail reception is very tricky because you're like, you know, you're going to piss someone off. Someone's going to be like, oh, this isn't real. This is a big joke. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but to me, I'm just like, we've been in seclusion for so long. I couldn't do a wedding where we're just like restricted.
Yeah.
In a seat. I just couldn't do it. I was like, everybody's just got to be let loose a little bit.
So there was this SNL skit that came out like a little bit after the quarantine when they started going to the studio, where it's like they go to this house party and then everybody's in their head about like how they're thinking about interacting with the people. And then they're like, how do I introduce myself? And it's just, hi, I realized so many things, like they start like rambling on because they don't know how to like reintroduce themselves to society. So they're it's like, I don't know how much is too much that I just told you, but I'm telling you all of my whole life story right now because I haven't told anybody in a year and a half.
It's so true. It's
very funny.
It's like being sociably awkward. I'm like, I don't know how to do. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. When we did the Oktoberfest.
Super awkward.
Right?
It gets super awkward because even at your Jack and Jill, it was like, that was the time I've seen people in years. Oh, no. And it's like, all right, do you hug? Do you high five? Do you elbow it? Do you fist it? Like, it's crazy. And just having regular conversations with people, it's just awkward. Exactly. And it's like the same conversation over and over and over again to different people.
Yeah. Exactly. No, that's exactly. Well, when we did the Oktoberfest and I did the speech too, I was like, everybody was staring at me. I'm like, I've had, you know, at events and stuff, have so many people looking at you and talking to you and stuff. And I was like, I said to John, I don't know what to do. I'm like, it's just, I've been like in seclusion. This is so weird. I don't know how to act.
It is very, that's exactly how I felt that your jacket. I was just like, people kept coming to me and I was just like, I don't, what am I telling them? And then I realized I was having really stupid conversations with people. I was just like, these conversations have no substance at all whatsoever. No substance whatsoever. I was like, what am I even saying? I know. When we left, I was like, did I even talk about anything that was remotely good? Relevant. Probably not. It just felt very that.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. And I don't know if this is just me, because like even now, I feel like I was being so sociable. Now I'm like, okay, I have to stay in seclusion for a little bit. Are you guys like that? Is this because, again, I've always been an extrovert. And this past whole thing with COVID has turned me into a severe introvert. But now I've been social and I'm like, okay, I feel like I have done enough being social for like a good solid few months. And now I want to like be back in my hole. Is this normal?
To be quiet again?
Yes. I just want to
I think that has a lot to do with the fact that like you're not used to being with so many people and it's very draining.
So draining.
It's extremely draining.
I was reading this thing on Instagram that I started following because I thought it was interesting. It says self-care for you. It's one that says 8 signs you're an extroverted introvert. And it says certain people drain you while others energize you. You find people both intriguing and exhausting. You love being alone, but appreciate good company. Your energy levels are closely tied to your environment. You would rather say what's on your mind than make small talk. You enjoy socializing, but always have an escape plan. You are selective with your people and your social calendar. And last but not least, people often mistake you for an extrovert. I feel like that is me now.
Me too. That's 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Wait, so what are you? Like it's extrovert, introvert?
It's a, you're 8 signs you're an extroverted introvert.
Yeah.
I wonder if like where you would fall under the Myers-Briggs. Even though I heard that's not really that's not like the best way of identifying who you are through Myers-Briggs. Like I was from 1 to 30 and I'm a 30 extrovert, but I can definitely relate to a lot of those things, especially when it comes to work.
I think if I stay in it, I think if I were to retake it now, I would definitely see a shift in my results, because I think environmentally that just has done that to all of us. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now I really kind of would like to, but I think I also think that it's been sort of this like kind of parabola of feelings and changes that say like, because we were in sort of this, you know, quote unquote seclusion for so long that we just kind of became more comfortable with ourselves as in our inner selves. Because before we were giving so much, you know, to other people and so much like energy and focus to other people or things or situations or social calendars, like it says in that post. And that is exhausting. Like, you know, I think I've always used a metaphor that says, it's not really a metaphor. It's just something that I always say. It's just like, you know, when you sometimes just have to be on and you feel like you're always on. And sometimes you just don't want to be on. Like there are certain scenarios where you just have to be on. But then when I'm home, I don't want to be on. I heard it actually when Adele said it the other day. I watched this Nikki tutorials on YouTube. She was doing Adele's makeup, half of her makeup on the side. She was saying, you know, do you think like your name is, you know, your name is so famous. Do you still want to be Adele, like Adele? And she kind of goes like, well, when I'm working, I'm Adele. I have to be Adele. But when I'm home, I'm like in sweats and like a pony. And like, it's like, I'm fine. Like I'm good being by myself. So I kind of thought that was very interesting that sort of, I think a lot of people have kind of gone through that curve.
That we're like comfortable being ourselves.
Yeah. Like our oneness, like just us individual, like it's, we're okay. You know, well, maybe like 2 or 3 or 5 years ago, you telling people that I really enjoy my own company. I like being by myself and like all these things, people would be like,
selfish.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? But like, yeah. like why? You don't want to be around people. Like, why? Like, what's wrong with you? Right? Like that stigma, I think that stigma has kind of reversed.
And see, and I was saying to John, I was like, now coming out of the wedding, I could have, like, people were like, aren't you excited? Do you feel different? Like, I could have done without it because I've been in such a, I'm in a comfort zone with John. I love being like our little family, just being home. I did it. And that was wonderful. It was so good to see family and friends and stuff. But like, maybe as I'm getting older too. And that was another thing I was like reflecting, like if I was a younger bride, maybe this would have been a really exciting thing. But for me being older and, you know, I'm 37 years old, like I'm not a 27 year old bride. Right. Like that's not, you know, where they get so excited and everything's glitz and glam. And I'm like, let's just get through this. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think the things would have been different, but now I'm like, what makes me happy was the next day of just being home, like with him, you know what I mean? Just that's it. And shutting the door and like being in our own little nucleus. And that's where I'm the most happy, where it would be like 10 years ago, I would like be happy at a bar or at a club with you guys, like with making out with a stranger.
Good time.
And now my happy time is sitting on my recliner.
You know what? Ain't nothing wrong with that.
And I love it. Well, I'm in bliss. That's bliss.
Weddings are just exhausting.
They're so
And I think it just nowadays, it's even more like we went to a wedding a couple of weeks ago and same thing. It was just like, you know, it was a good time, but then afterwards you're just kind of like, all right, I'm kind of happy to be home.
Yeah.
Well, did you get the depression? Everyone kept saying to me, they're like, you're going to get the depression. You're not going to have anything to plan. And I'm like, hello, I'm an event planner. So like, I have like six things I got
to
plan.
That doesn't apply to you.
It definitely doesn't apply to you, but even as far as like wedding planning, like it was just like, what am I going to do with my time? Then I was like, oh yeah, I got honeymoon. And then the honeymoon was, and I liked the fact that it wasn't my honeymoon right after because it made you look forward to something, especially like I'm a big fan of warm weather. So it was nice that I was going December to like a warm place.
Yeah.
Right.
That was just me though. But I like that I waited a couple months before my honeymoon.
See, and I think I'm happy that I did this during the Christmas season because this is my favorite time. So I also didn't want to like mess up my time of the, like now I'm just like taking each time in.
Yeah.
We took off this week. And like, unfortunately we were going to take our pictures, but we didn't do that because Norman has to go through treatments. Yeah. He's got to go do like breathing treatments.
Oh.
So we postponed it. It's fine. I said, or John, I was like, if anything, we take our stuff with us in Rome and then we do our pictures in Rome.
That would be beautiful. I can see you in that green dress. Taking a picture in front of the Coliseum, very like wind in your hair. That would be like a Valentino ad. That'd be beautiful.
I said, I was like, why not? We could just do that. That's so different and cool. Like maybe we'll just do that.
That's a great idea.
But honestly,
did the photographer include that in the package, or you guys were just going to take pictures on your own?
No, it was, we had to do extra. Yeah. For her to come back up and stuff. So,
So then maybe for her to like, use that for that money for something else, like maybe when you have children, like a maternity shoot or something like that.
I doubt this is all gonna happen, so we'll see.
now we're looking forward to Neen's maternity shoot.
Maybe that's like it too, but like honestly, like we did nothing this week. We literally just like sat. We didn't even like go crazy about the house. I was like, maybe we should clean. Maybe we should. I'm like, no, let's just take it easy. And like,
how much did you sleep on Sunday?
To be honest, like we slept, but John was getting such anxiety because he felt bad that he wasn't home with the dog because he knew the dog didn't feel good. So I was like, can we relax? But we did wind up staying another night in Brooklyn, but like, we were like, okay, let's get home to the dog. Like, but that's it. Aww. Like we just, I don't know. We just literally were just taking it easy. We just enjoyed ourselves. And
were you sore from dancing? Because I was sore from dancing. I'm still recovering.
My back was killing me, but like, but then we all got just like a little cold, so that could have been it too. But we just felt like we just needed to just. Everyone was calling me during the week too, and I was like, no, I'm shutting everything down. Like I didn't want to answer phones, social media. I didn't care really too much about. I haven't posted any pictures. Like I'm just like
enjoy the peace and quiet.
That's it. That's all I really wanted. But I said to John, and John's like, okay, when we're going to start making babies. I'm like, yes.
So
yes. That's where we're at.
So that's where you're at, making babies.
Make it in Italy.
I know. But I said, I was like, maybe that's why like the wedding was like, okay, cool. Let's just get through it.
Yeah. Because now Neen's Barbie parts are frictioning. So
it's frictioning. We're revving. But I'm just, that's where I think my head is now at this point. Like it's so like baby making time that I don't even care.
Now, well, at least that's something to plan, because now you're just like, all right, it's 2:25. I believe it's time for baby making music.
Baby making time. I know. But we'll see. And that's the thing. I'm trying not to like stress myself out. So whatever happens
will happen.
It's God's will right now at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is some advice that you would give a bride who may be listening, or a future bride that may be listening to the podcast? Because both of you are married, and you both had different experiences. What are some advice that you would give to now going to have gone through it? What would you do differently? And then what advice would you give them?
I think for me, do differently. I think really pay attention to your vendors. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. If you don't feel comfortable, fire them. like on the spot, just do it. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I really wouldn't change anything, because I think, and this goes against with my, like, this goes with my advice. My advice is, it's your wedding. Don't listen. Shut everybody up. Don't ask for opinions, because you're not going to get what you want to hear. If this is something that you want to do, just do it. Don't ask. Just do everything you want to do. And remember that it really comes down to you and your person. So this isn't for everybody. And I don't care when everyone's like, oh, it's for the guests. That's great and all, but it's not. And that's why it comes back to even to my vows. Maybe it didn't make sense to you, but it made sense to John. And that's what really, like, that's what mattered.
Right.
Exactly. I wasn't saying it to my guests. And I know it sounds selfish, but it's not. It comes down to, you have to remember that it's for you and your person. This is what you're doing. It's your day.
Good.
I couldn't agree more with Anina on that, because aside from the vendors, my wedding was a little different, but it's about you and it's about what you want. Who cares what everyone else thinks? Also, make sure you eat before. Make sure you eat during whatever type of reception you have, just so that you get to enjoy some peace and quiet for a little bit in your bridal suite or whatever before the madness, because from experience now, Anina too, the day goes really quick. Mm-hmm. And you want to enjoy, the stuff that you put money into. And then the second thing, which I followed, was don't get drunk at your wedding. I didn't get drunk at my wedding. That way, you're not sloppy or anything like that. And just dance your ass off if you're into that.
Yeah. And I think also too, one thing I did, and you guys were there, if something makes you uncomfortable, speak up. Like, I was getting annoyed with my photographer because I'm like, this is not what I want to do in terms of the pose. And I didn't care what I sounded like. I was like, no, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm paying money and I'm not comfortable with this. I do not feel comfortable. Set your boundaries and be really honest with yourself of what you want. Because again, you're going to be the one that's going to be stuck with the pictures for the rest of your life. And if this is something you don't want, speak up, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is some really great advice. It's interesting how people can, all of us have been to our fair share of weddings, and some common threads that I notice is that some people get lost in the making of, and some people get lost in the moment of that. It's like you lose sight of what the moment is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that vibe latches onto your guests to say, I don't know, it doesn't feel like this is the wedding that they wanted, or this doesn't feel like, right. Yeah. So I think, I know nothing about getting married or doing the prep for it, but having been to many, my observation as a guest or as a bridal party person is that that's been what I've seen in some weddings and I've noticed. And I don't know if it's maybe just the decision-making, quick change in something, because those are the things that does not make a good wedding, not make for a good experience, not for the guests. It's more for the people that did all this for themselves, right? The bride and the groom. And I think that the thing that is really important, Neen, is that it is very important for them to not forget that it is about them. It's about the two people that are in front of you that are putting their time and their dedication for public consumption and viewment. And it's very important to cherish that moment, because it, like you said, right, it goes very fast.
And I hated that part, because people that are close to me know how much John and I love each other. And I hate, people would have an assumption of me being loving the attention, loving the spotlight. I am actually the complete opposite when it comes to John and I, because I like to keep it actually just to myself. Mm-hmm. This is something that I cherish. And I think that was the one part that I was I wasn't comfortable. And it was kind of hard for me to let everybody see and judge my relationship just based on my wedding. So I think that's also too why I'm glad I masked it as a big party instead of like just this couple with the couple like doing the, you know, the bouquet and doing the garden. Like I wanted it to be more of a celebration of love and family and friends instead of it just being focused on John and I. John and I knew we love each other. There's no, like, we didn't need that. We didn't. So
you
maybe
that validation.
So maybe if people were like, well, this doesn't feel like a wedding to us, that's what we wanted. We wanted you to feel like you were celebrating love and family and friends and being back together, opposed to it just being John and I. Right. So maybe it's very different. Like my wedding was different from like Jackie's wedding or for like someone else's wedding, or, you know what I mean? Everybody has their own type of wedding. Right. For me, what I was trying to display was like, again, it's a celebration of family, people that were sick that are now okay. People that are sick and still dealing with that. You know what I mean? Like we just wanted to have one night where we can just all be in a room and just be happy and dance and drink and eat and just celebrate. And it just happened to be where it's John and I, like our wedding. Like, that's really what I wanted.
Right. Yeah. So, success.
And it definitely came across that way.
Yeah.
You know, I think the message was definitely received, at least from my perspective.
And I appreciate that. And like, that's the thing, like some people, like if I invited like the rest of my family, like they would have been like, this is not a wedding, blah, blah, blah. They wouldn't understand. That was not what I wanted. I did not want to have the cookie cutter wedding. It was just not me. And I didn't, that was not, it maybe would have been different. Like if we didn't go through all this COVID and we would, you know, we would have maybe a more of a sit down traditional wedding. But because again, we haven't been out, we haven't seen each other. We didn't know how to act. We didn't know if we could sit next to each other when I was planning it. So like, that was the best that I could possibly do in terms of like having to change over my wedding a million times. And that, to me, that felt like more like me and John, a social gathering than a sit down structured wedding. That's John and I.
It felt more like a part two of your Jack and Jill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's us. Like John's a social person. Like he likes to be social. I like to be social. If anybody knows me, they know that I hate to sit down. Well, now I do like to sit down and eat dinner and just sit. I do like sitting. But like my old self, that's me. I hated to always have to sit at a dinner and like not be so, like I loved bopping around and being social. So maybe it felt really nice to like be back to my old self for that one night, but now I wanted to sit.
Yeah. Now I just want to sit. I got to pump my hands. I got to dance. I got to get low, low, low. Yeah. I got
it really
to
felt
twist.
Like my old self, but now I'm like painful. One thing I will say too is what you mentioned before, Chris, was like staying in the moment and having that vibe. I tried so hard, but like also you'll have things that whether it's a vendor or a guest or something that will kind of pull you out of the like the moment. Mm-hmm. Which comes really hard because again, you're just sitting there and you're trying to articulate to yourself, okay, you're about to walk down the aisle. This is the most important moment. But like, there's also things that are going to be thrown at you and a million people talking to you. I think also another thing I would change was before I walked down the aisle, I should have been in solitude.
Yeah.
Because
I
was, not that I was anxious or nervous. Like, let me just explain. I was not like everyone kept asking, they're like, why are you so calm? Cause I knew what I was doing. I wanted to walk down the aisle to this man and say my vows, but I also didn't like not knowing what time it was, why we're late, what's going on. We have to rush. And a million people coming at me. And that was really frustrating. That really set me off. Like I started getting aggravated and I got pissed because I'm like, this is happening right before I walked down the aisle. And this is not the mindset I want to be in. I was in such a zen place the whole day that it was really frustrating.
I don't blame you.
The whole having people in your face is extremely frustrating as a bride.
Yeah.
I think you sensed it when I was getting married, when, you know, my sister obviously meant well, but she was asking me like the silliest things. Should I put this in your bag? Should I put this? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yo, just get out of my face right now because I'm about to freak out on you. And, you know, I don't obviously want to freak out on anyone, but like it's exhausting when there's just people in your face constantly asking you a million questions. They can get super overwhelming, especially when, you know,
really
this is your day.
Yeah. So I think that that's the biggest advice I think that to take away from that is that you really make sure you have those last 5 minutes to just gather yourself in complete silence or put on your favorite track or something that you know is going to motivate you or something that's going to put you in a good place so that when you're going out there, the expression on your face is the one that you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my only thing.
Yeah.
But like, I was glad that at least like I had a minute after everybody just started going, I just like had a minute to like breathe.
Good.
But that was why it was, that was overwhelming to me. I just didn't like, again, because when you're not around a lot of people, again, after all these like this year now, when you're not around a lot of people and you have a million people coming at you, touching you, going, I'm like, get off of me. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I was getting so frustrated. That's when I wanted to lose my shit.
That is no, and that's the thing. It's just that's the last thing you want 30 seconds before you're about to walk down the aisle. Like that's wild. So
bridesmaids. I tried to keep my
bridesmaids, brides, just remember, like just listen for the moment, like read the room really well. Yeah. Just school yourself on a little bit of etiquette when it comes to what that moment is, because you're not in that moment as a bridesmaid. You're sharing that moment, but that moment is an individual moment for that bride, or even if it's the groom and it's a groom or a bride and a bride. Like these moments are the last second that they're going to sort of be a singular entity and moving into this, you know, duo of love, and they need that moment to just kind of regather themselves. It's so important that they do that, because you want to show the most genuine loving side of yourself at that moment. So
you just expressed it 100%.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But other than that though, I mean, I'm glad it's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so happy it's over. Now we just got to finish paying our bills. That's it. No. Like, honestly, I'm just so thankful. Like it's done. I don't care. I'm over it. Like my mom's like, well, too bad people didn't get to see the rest of the montage and this and that. I'm like, who cares? I don't care. She's like, post it. I'm like, I don't care. Like people, I want everything quiet.
It's fine. It's fine.
I don't care. Like I don't care about posting things. Were you like that too, Jack? Like you just didn't care?
No, I don't even think I posted. I think I post the same picture every year for our anniversary of he and I that was taken on someone's cell phone. I'm still trying to figure out who it was. It's a black and white. It's the background of my phone still.
Oh, I love that picture. Someone took that for you, right?
So I think it was Rachel or Pete's cousin's wife. Mm. Like, I don't know who took it, but it was just like both of us holding hands, but looking the other way. I think I was looking at the two of you guys because I'm like smiling and I have it in black and white in my background. I think I post every, I mean, Pete doesn't have social media anymore, so there's no reason for me to post that. But I don't think I posted any pictures of my wedding, like at all.
Yeah.
If anything, it was just
the only thing I posted, which I looked at the other day, actually last night I looked at it because I was like, why does my Facebook have all these pictures? And the video of us entering right before we entered the
You did a live Facebook.
I did a live Facebook. It was so weird. I was like, why is this camera so shaky? I was getting so dizzy. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't watch this. I'm so dizzy.
You're like, woo! I'm like, what is Chris doing?
I was like, what am I doing? What is happening here?
So out of character.
Like, I can't. That was very, very odd. Little did I know that later on I'd be hosting a podcast. So like, there you go. Who knew? Who knew? Live stream was always in the cards for me, I guess. Oh my gosh. Well, I think that'll wrap us up. That was a lot of fun. I love this. I love that we had our little trifecta moment. I love that we got to regroup post.
I mean, can I just say though, what one thing the day of my wedding, what I will always say is the most special moment was honestly is just like having the three of us in the morning. Like that really set my tone. So like having the three of us just like quiet before everyone got there. I think that really, that makes me like, you know, that was a special moment. Like I'll cherish that.
That was my favorite moment.
Absolutely my favorite moment. And do you remember the time where I forgot what I was about to say and I was getting all sentimental? I was like, I have no idea what to
talk about. Oh yeah, you were really getting into it.
I'll text you it later, or there could be a separate conversation. I remembered, like, I think I was like changing Eliana's diaper at one point, and I was like, oh yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
So it has to involve, so it must involve poop, I'm guessing.
Yeah, poop or poopy people. Oh, I'll find out.
Shitty people.
you gotta stay tuned. In the meantime, everybody, don't forget to like, subscribe, and rate us, share it and spread it around, because this is what this podcast is, just three best friends getting together and talking. So thanks for joining. And Neen, welcome back to the co-host chair.
Thanks. It feels so good to be back. Honestly, I feel like I had so much to talk about. So this feels good. You know, I really miss this. This is like therapy for me.
It really is. And you know what? I think a lot of people get a value add out of it. So,
thank you for having me back.
Until next time, thank you, Jackie, for joining.
Oh, anytime.
And
happy to do so. Sorry, it was madness over here.
Oh, no, I love madness. I love
real life, Jack.
It's real life. We are real, if nothing else. Well, thank you so much for joining. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
produced and edited by Chris Garcia. Music by Chris and Neen. Follow the show or send us questions on Instagram and Twitter at BFF Energy Pod. Until next time, besties, bye!